TalkZone.com.
Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Welcome to the Wild About Pets show, sponsored by Nutrisource, a super premium dog food. This is the place we talk in depth to leading authors and experts about all topics regarding household pets or wild animals. To make your listening experience more enjoyable and meaningful, I have a companion website, wildaboutpets.net, that allows you to see photographs of animals we will be talking about on the show today. To see these pictures while you are listening, just click the purple Look While You Listen button you see inside today's episode page, dated May 28th, or if you are on the TalkZone Wild About Pets homepage, to get to the episode page, click on today's date or photo. We all hear about how stress can wreak havoc with our health, and perhaps you have experienced times when stress has made you sick. Did you know that your dog or cat also experiences stress and that it can affect their health? My guest this week is Dr. Paul McCutcheon, a doctor of veterinary medicine, and is the author of the book The New Holistic Way for Dogs and Cats, The Stress-Health Connection. Today, he will help us identify the different types of stress your pets may experience, what effects the stress can have on their health, and most usefully, let us know what we can do to prevent and manage some of that stress. Dr. McCutcheon, I am thrilled to have you on the show today.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure.
Dr. McCutcheon practices holistic pet care at Toronto's East York Animal Clinic, which he also founded in 1962. I have some photos that illustrate our conversation today, so to see them, either click the purple Look While You Listen button that you see inside of today's May 28th episode page, or if you are on my Wild About Pets Talk Zone homepage, click the purple button. This will take you to the Look While You Listen page on my own website. Then click today's date, May 28th, and you'll be taken to the page of photos. The phone lines are also open today. It's May 28th. We are streaming live right now. If you'd like to ask Dr. McCutcheon a question about stress in your pets, call 888-463-6748. The international number is 011-847-470-0937. Or you can email me a question at susan@wildaboutpets.net. Again, it's May 28th. The phone numbers to call are at the top of the page of photos, so if you didn't get all those, don't worry about it. Let's get started. Dr. McCutcheon, it is hard for many people to grasp the concept that stress has a negative effect on our own health. And even if we do get it, we often take the attitude, well, we simply just have to accept it in our lives, and there's not much we can do about it anyway. How then, doctor, shall we begin to understand the importance and relevance of stress in our pets?
Well, first of all, I think the understanding of what stress really is, and I don't mean just the emotional stress. Most of our connotation of stress is, oh, it's the emotional side.
Right.
That certainly is a factor. But it's not the factor. The real factors are that stress is an overall effect on the body. And I define it by saying it's really the reaction of the body to demands from the environment. And those effects on the body manifest themselves in a variety of different ways. So it may be affecting us psychologically or our pets psychologically, or it may be manifesting itself in a physical level. Of course, it's showing up with cancer or autoimmunes, all sorts of different manifestations. But the real essence of it is that it is nonspecific, and it depends on the individual, how they're going to respond to that. So it's up to us as pet owners and I shouldn't use that word, probably pet companions would be more appropriate. really what we are trying in the book to try to make people better companions to their pet by understanding how they possibly can control the stress factors that may be influencing their lives.
And you state in your book that you believe that stress is the sole cause of everything that happens to our pet's health.
Well, yeah, the way I look at it is this. The body, the terrain, the body of what we're really talking about is a magnificent instrument, and it is functioning beautifully under normal circumstances. We should not see illness. We should not see degeneration. We should not see anything happening to that body if things are working the way they should. You and I know that realistically for our own bodies and our pets, that is a impossible situation for the rest of your life, for most people anyhow. So there are factors that interfere with that normality, and that the body is constantly fighting for normality or homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that disturb that homeostasis, and those factors are stress.
Now, Doctor, one thing I especially liked is that you talk about just as, of course, we respond to different things that happen in the environment, there's different stressors, but sometimes they're positive experiences. There's positive and negative. So can you differentiate that a little bit for us?
Yes, for sure. Now, the stress, it can be very positive. Of course, we need stress to have a normal, happy, functional life. If we didn't have any stress whatsoever, we would be basically static. We'd be dead, if you will.
So, that wouldn't be good at all.
we wouldn't have much fun. So stress is a very positive thing or a very negative thing. The interesting thing is that the same stress might be different for individuals. Give you an example. Maybe a positive stress for a big, strong, healthy Labrador retriever is a two-mile walk. That same two-mile walk to an overweight couch potato Cocker Spaniel may be life-threatening. I mean, they just can't handle that same thing. So in that case, the same walk turns into a negative stress. But the positiveness that we get out of stress is very, very important to understand, too. So we have to balance and understand what is negative and positive in our pets' lives and try to avoid the negative side, obviously.
Okay, and as we talk today, it would be wonderful if you can also use some of the stories of the cats and dogs that you've treated, but I'd like to pay a special emphasis to the cats. I have many listeners that let me know that all the talk shows, and often, you know, we're talking about dogs so much that cats seem to be neglected in this
Absolutely.
In this story.
Yeah.
So if we could talk about cats a little bit more, and you'll notice my first photograph that I have, number two after your cover of your book, is about a cat that seems to have a case of dermatitis and has done a lot of licking of fur off of its leg. And you've seen cases of this, haven't you?
Oh, many of them. And this is a typical stress reaction. You know, you look at that and you say, oh, there might be some mites or something, as you say in the caption. But obviously, most of them are negative. You see nothing. You see that he's been, or he or she has been licking herself consistently, and she had a very rough tongue. Cats have real rough tongues. If you've ever had them lick you, you understand that.
Yes.
That constant licking is created a real scar tissue and what have you that you see on that on the screen. Now, the problem with this is that there is an emotional factor there. It's like people biting fingernails. It turns into a vice, and it's an ongoing thing. That case would be a very difficult thing to sort out from a purely medical standpoint. You have to start looking at the psychological side, the whole behavioral thing, the fact that this cat probably has some emotional stress factors in that family. So I spend time trying to confront the owner with possible emotional or possibly physical stress factors that might be involving that particular individual. It's a bit of a challenge sometimes, and to be truthful, you get into people's lives.
Yes, and of course you go into much detail about what you mean by the new holistic way, and that it's looking at the whole entire animal, not just some of what we're used to in traditional medicine that just looks at the symptoms and then tries to, you know, treat the symptoms.
Right, and I expand that to the environment as well.
Yes.
I mean, particularly in a guest like this, that cat would probably have owners, companions, if you will, human companions, with emotional problem. Maybe they're having a marital problem. You know, this type of thing is, believe me, they pick up on all those things so dramatically, particularly cats. Cats are, you know, sixth sense to speak of. They know what's going on in our minds. I mean, we have two cats right here and looking at me. I know that the one cat reads my mind.
Yes, and you know, something that we've talked about on this show is that animals are expert at reading our human body language beyond what I think we even Absolutely. Commonly conceive of. And so where we think, since we're not talking, we're not communicating something, but that's not at all the case, is it, Dr. McCutcheon?
No, and you know, we can transmit, you know, they sense things that are almost unbelievable from distances. You don't even have to be there in the same room or even in the same building with them. And they understand what's going on. It's almost, it isn't beyond comprehension. It is beyond comprehension for most of us. But if you're into energy fields and stuff like that, it is not beyond the realm of comprehension.
Yes. Our phone lines are open. It's May 28th. You can call 888-463-6748. That's 888. Go for it. Come on, I know you want to call. Or you can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. Also, we're looking at photographs if you just joined us. To get to those, if you're on the Talk Zone page, the home page, you click the purple Look While You Listen button, or get to the episode page by clicking on the photo in today's date, and then you'll see the purple Look While You Listen button. Click that, and you'll get to the photographs. Before we talk about some of the different realms of stress that you describe in the book, Doctor, I loved your stress response system that you talk about, and I think everyone will have a great idea of really how an animal will respond to stress. And you use the example of Jake, a German Shepherd Husky cross, and what might, you know, this dog do when they encounter stress. And there's three basic reactions. Can you take us through that a bit?
Well, let's look at the stress reaction as this is what I'd like to portray,
okay.
That it is a complex thing. It really is a complex thing. And it involves a lot of the hormonal system. And hormones are so important in the manifestation of what you're going to see. And it isn't just the adrenal gland, but the adrenal gland and all the steroid products that it's producing will certainly make body changes. But it also involves the thyroid, the pituitary, and the brain, actually. And the brain is really the integral part of the whole mechanism of stress reaction. So when we start talking about how they respond, you know, the fight and flight hormones.
Mm-hmm.
They respond by either attacking the situation, they respond by just living with it, or they respond by running away from the situation. I mean, this is how it is. And that can be transmitted even how they handle infections or food. I mean, just give you a really simple example. I mean, the dog, you put food down, and if he's really aggressive, he'll eat it right away, or the cat, of course. And or if they don't like it, their body is responding and say, I don't want it. They may do nothing. They don't want it. Or they may actually literally run away from it. So, and then you really know they don't really want it. But there is some sort of a response mechanism. That's a very simple example of a stressful situation. That food might be a stress for that animal. The animal's going to eat it up. But it's really there are many factors in life where this stress reaction occurs. And this may be such a simple thing as boredom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of our pets probably don't get enough attention. And this is a real stress factor. Now, dogs and cats both. I mean, people tend to think that cats don't need the attention. And they make their isolationist and so on and so forth. I don't believe that. I think they really do need our interaction, our attention. Admittedly, they run their own show, but more so than dogs. But still, they need our interaction.
I agree.
The cat you have on the screen, that's probably, I would bet you that that cat's a neglected situation.
Yes.
Doesn't get enough attention.
Right, exactly.
So he is showing a manifestation of that. But this whole hormonal thing is so important in how the body reacts to things. And that's what I was talking about. That's what the Stress, remember, is the reaction of the body to environmental demands.
And I love that definition. It's very clear and very understandable.
So then how that terrain is going to respond to that is the issue. And it may manifest itself in a variety of different ways. And aggressiveness, yes. Even a behavioral thing might be very aggressive or maybe passive, or they become very reclusive, right?
Yes.
So you have all of those possibilities to stress as a simple example of how the body may respond to those things.
Now, this, in just hearing you talk about that, it sounds like if so many things could be the cause of stress, it sounds rather overwhelming. But what I like and what we're going to do in the rest of the show is break it down. And you talk about there's different realms of stress, and there's a way that we can become our own pet stress monitor, which I think is brilliant. And so that will, I think, help reassure people that there is a way to start getting a handle on this. And then, of course, we'll talk about some of the strategies for preventing it. But in our amount of time, obviously, we'll only touch on the subject. You have so much more in the book. But let's pick some of the top realms, actually, that I highlighted on. And I wanted to start with the idea of dietary stress, because I think this is very common. And in my picture number 3, we have a picture of a cat who's eating its normal food. And I guess I'd want to say to everyone, and I write this in the caption, that just because of our cats going along with eating, let's say, the same canned or dry kibble their whole lives and seeming to be healthy, that's not necessarily the case, is it, Doctor?
I agree with you. Now, this is I sometimes step out of the norm on some of this, but I really believe that most of our cats and dogs, too, are fed a biologically inappropriate food. Now, we've been bred to believe by pet food manufacturers, other people, nutritional experts and so on, that feeding something out of a bag or a can is the normal way a cat and dog should be eating. And, of course, and that if we decide that they should be eating some real raw product, or whether it be chicken or turkey or duck or whatever, that this is something bizarre. Well, it's really the other way around.
That's right.
And people should really try to get out of the idea of giving them processed food all the time. I'd like to eliminate processed food from all of our pets and try to get them on unprocessed food of one type or another. And in this day and age, these things are available in a package, usually a frozen format, so you can deviate from the packaged products very easily without a lot of home making and stuff like that. Years and years ago, I used to have people making their foods at home, and it would last about a week. And then people would say, that's too much trouble. And I could see that, and they're back on the kibble, you know? And I found more recently, over the last 10, 12 years, more and more people are being able to buy these things in the, in the health food, pet food stores. And really, I'm so glad to see this happening, because they really do benefit by unprocessed food. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yes, and you go into it in a couple places in the book. There's one thing I was particularly impressed by, and I'll just read this. It's on a certain page of you're talking about dietary stress, and you say that evidence has shown that most illnesses that afflict pets today were rarely, if ever, seen before we began feeding dogs and cats processed foods. And I know there's a lot of research that's supporting that, and I think most people are not aware of that.
I think that's right, and of course we get into the whole logistics of trying to provide food at a very cheap source, and
right,
that has its consequences. And even though the food may seem relatively cheap, it doesn't mean it's good. And we've been led to believe that, you take pretty cheap stuff, if you want to call it that, a lot of carbohydrate that they don't need in the grains and so on, and then supplement to give the vitamins and minerals that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all artificial feeding. It's junk food in the ultimate. It's a terrible concept of feeding, in my estimation. So we should try to get back to basics and feed our pets as naturally as possible.
And you know, Doctor, I, of course, have had pets, my dog and my cat, and I loved them and wanted to provide the best I could for them, as well as I know most pet owners. And I just accepted, you know, that this is what one does. As you said, you buy the cans of cat food and some of the premium kibble, and this is how you feed your animals. And it's now that I think we're really, really coming out with, and I love the fact that you as a vet are also writing about this. It is time for us to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.